This interview is for information only and should not be considered as investment advice or a recommendation to buy shares in the company featured. Welcome to this Stockbox interview. On Stockbox today, I'm joined by the CEO of Panther Metals, Darren Hazelwood, who is going to be answering some questions that have been sent in from private investors. Darren, how are you?
I'm very well, Mark. Thanks. Enjoying this beautiful start to summer.
Indeed. Yes, indeed. It's long overdue, isn't it, this start to summer? But yes, it's nice that it is finally summer. So it's all good. So we've got a lot of questions that have come in, Darren. So I'll just put them to you and I'll start off with, from your PI background, that's your private investing background, what drove you to lead a business on the market?
That's a good one. I think that really you have to take a step further back than that. Mm. And my own personal background is in business first. And that led me to investing into the exploration mining sector. So my most comfortable place in the world is in business. Mm-hmm. It's always been a motivation of mine. It's always driven me. I, even from a very young age, I just wanted to start in business. And eventually got myself into a position that did that. And I guess that the initial round for me, I view my businesses in the past as probably my university of life, the equivalent of that's, and they've provided a stepping stone for me to move into a sector that I love. Okay, and there's good reasons why I love the sector. Mm. It's in my old industry, capital. It was very capital and labor intensive. Okay, and I took the decision. I was in a position that I could take that decision, I must admit, and not many people get that opportunity, which I do recognize. But I could make a decision when I was young enough in my 40s. To change the business area that I was operating in, because I didn't change focus. I was just going from running a business in one industry to running a business in another. And it just felt like a natural progression for me. But the difference is with why am I not investing and why have I taken on a leading role? Is that I'm backing myself, and I've always had the best returns in my life when I've backed myself. And that's not an arrogance, it's a simple fact. And this is an industry where you can create life-changing returns, and that's not easily achieved in today's market. We often talk about the internet has provided saturation in business, that companies that come up with a new idea have probably got months to really start benefiting from it before there's copycats, things come out, etc. But in this industry, it's not like that at all. And I see an opportunity where I can combine all of my experience and my knowledge in running a business and combine that and really enter somewhere that, for all kinds of different reasons, not least the well-reported debt levels across the globe, I believe strongly that we're living in unsustainable levels, and that's getting more and more commentary all the time within the market. But I'm in an industry where, so I can leverage that and potentially create returns for my family and for my grandkids. And I have the chance to leave a business legacy. I'm not in this for the short term. I've done the hard miles, as I've always said. But if you want to, you need access to capital to be able to really make a difference and really make those returns. And that's what the being on the markets, that allows you that gives you that access. And of course, the great thing about being on the market as well, if I am successful, and this is something that's often overlooked, is whilst I'm going through that process of being successful, there are others that join onto that. That's your investing network. And you're also bringing them along. So you're having a really positive impact on other people's lives along the way. But what's absolutely imperative in any business, whether it's in the private sector or whether it's on the public market, is you've got to have the team that can create that value. And that's exactly what we've got at Panther. So I've been lucky in that regard. I'm not going to lie. You know, there's people that are with us that I never dreamt I'd get. But effectively, that's allowing us to create that vision. And of course, capital allocation is the same in the private sector as the public sector. You've just got to make sure you're spending your money wisely and you're putting it in the place where you can get your best return. And that's my view on business, Mark.
Okay. Thank you very much. Let's move on to the next question then. You often refer to the team at Panther. How well are you working together, do you think? And has COVID impacted the relationship between the team in any way?
No, the team work exceptionally well together. Mm. Everything, COVID has impacted it, as in the fact that we haven't been able to do the things that I strongly believe in, really since we listed. We listed in the January, we all were together in person in February at a meeting. But outside of that, because of COVID, we haven't managed to all get together, which is actually a damn shame because they're so productive when everybody can get together. But the team work brilliantly. We all know our jobs. Everyone gets on with their job. Look, this is an exceptionally professional team. So there's not a chance of anybody being micromanaged in this company because nobody needs that. They're all professionals. They're all extremely experienced, and everybody just lets everybody get on with their job. And that's why I believe we've been so successful in taking Panther from where it was to where it is now. Mm-hmm. It is, and you can see the results of that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, actually, that leads us nicely into the next question, which is how do you feel about the progress of the business since the move to the main market?
I'm very pleased with the progress. We've obviously had the COVID issue, and if you chuck the COVID factor into it, I'm absolutely over the moon. But it's no doubt there's been some couple of delays. We've managed it as absolute best we can, and we've made progress, a lot more progress than I ever envisaged within the first 18 months. I would like to have had drill holes in the ground by now. I'm not going to lie, but you know, there's been other factors that have prevented that you could link directly to COVID. But no, I'm pleased with the progress, but I really do. It's now's the time for us to kick on. And I think people are seeing that we are kicking on as well. You've obviously got what's going on in Australia. Now, that's going to have a huge impact on our balance sheet. All the news coming from Australia on the Marolia project that you people have got to remember is we wasn't looking for a project. But when the geologists looked at this project and see what was on offer, it was an absolute no-brainer. We couldn't not do that deal. And as a result, that's going to enable us to really strengthen the balance sheet for Panther Metals PLC And it's going to have a very positive impact on the business going forward. But yeah, we are kicking on, and we've got a huge amount going on in the background. And of course, what you've got to remember is that not due to COVID, that you know, there might be one or two things that people aren't aware of that come to light as time progresses, and it's all very positive.
Okay. Now, the next question, when will the listing in Australia happen?
I can't put any dates to it because it's one of those that as soon as you put a date on something, then that effectively gets stamped on your forehead. The company in Australia is now funded. It's paid for all of the work that's been carried out in Australia this year. They're funded to carry out more. Effectively, we are in a position that the three directors over there are now running that side of the business. We've had discussions and negotiations with brokers in Australia with an aim of moving towards listing. Those have all been very positive. But I'm not going to put a date for anyone because, as I say, people hold you to that. And I think the more experienced in the market will understand that, because you very often you'll put dates and timescales on things, and for whatever reason they lapse. You know, I've been in a position before where I've seen something delayed for 2 weeks because simply one person was away 1 week and one was away another. And it was a change in a legal document. And yeah, so that pushed something back 2 weeks. And that's not unheard of either. So it's going to happen. And I think it will happen in quite a nice time frame.
Okay. Now, you like to align with PIs. How do you manage the expenses of the company and the remuneration of the board?
Oh, good question. I think I'd probably counteract that I like to align with PIs. I actually would say that I like to run the business how I believe it should be run. And certainly in this industry, what you've got to make sure is that you are putting as much money as you possibly can into the ground. Now, to do that, it means that finance has got to come from somewhere. Effectively, private investors are funding this business. And private investors want to see that money into the ground, and rightly so. So I don't think I necessarily like to align with private investors. I just think that my own view is that I don't do lunch per se. And certainly traveling all around the world to the opening of a letter is not my game. It's about building a business. Now, you will get to the point where the remuneration of the board of directors will have to change. I feel like I sort of got away with it up to this point. But that they're an exceptionally understanding group. And as I say, due to their experience, they know where we're going. They know what we're doing. And they also understand the requirement to get some real results. And at that stage, then we can revisit, you know, remuneration, everything else. So basically, it's about internal communication, everybody understanding the path we're on. Mm-hmm. And once that path opens up a bit, and of course, then it will become more time critical to members of the board as well. You must remember that. And we've got to pay accordingly. And our shareholders would expect us to. But first of all, we've got to get that first big discovery under our belt, Mark.
Okay. Now, the next question is that you are surrounded by drilling programs in Canada, and you mentioned a neighboring geologist on your site recently. How does this make you feel about Panther's prospects out there?
Oh, I absolutely love Canada. I love both the properties we've got out there. Mm-hmm. For different reasons. Actually, the geologists had a prospector with them. They were on the Big Bear project, and the geologist sent me a message saying, "My prospector's shaking after seeing what we've seen on your property." Mm-hmm. And you know, that's the potential impact that property can have on people.
Okay.
And Big Bear's got some grades that are just, they are, people wouldn't believe. They are unbelievable. And they're high grade narrow vein. You've got the guys to the south of Big Bear. They're building a resource. They've got inferred indicators, something like 1.2, 1.3 million already. And the indications from their drilling results are that that's only going to increase. And that's exciting for us, looking over the almost over the boundary fence, shall we say. But when you look at Big Bear and what's been done to date, why there are so many adits on the site, and nobody's ever really drilled into that property to really get a good understanding of what's going on. And that mineralization is coming from somewhere, and we've got a lot of very exciting targets here. I think the mag on Big Bear showed, was it 253 targets, of which 39 are high priority. Now this is on a property that's had reported grades of 1500 grams a ton produced. Rock chip samples, many, many into 100, 200, 300 grams, 400 grams a ton there are as well. And nobody's ever put it together. And you've got Canadians going on there saying, this is an amazing property. What more could I want as a CEO of a business with a property like that? Yes, we've done a lot of work. We've still got a lot more work to do on site. We need to also, we're keen to get our drill permits in place that have been delayed, and that's been well covered. But that is a monster of a property, and it could be a life-changing property as well.
Okay.
And you look over, then you go across to Dotted Lake. Now, Dotted Lake, we've got some really good grades at surface, and nothing on the scale of the Big Bear. But you've got to remember that Dotted Lake hasn't had the same amount of work done on it that's been done in the Big Bear area. But we're going to be drilling 400 meter hole into known gold mineralization. It's a shear zone. We're going to be going through that shear zone. And then we're going to be going into unknown territory for that property. But if you look at the system, it's a big fold that runs across that part of Ontario. And to our east and to our west, there is significant mineralization in the platinum palladium groups, copper as well. So once we get through the gold mineralization, we don't know how deep it is. We suspect that's going to be 150, 200 meters deep. We've got another 200 meters to go. And it's to have a look at the stratigraphy, because nobody's ever looked at the stratigraphy there. And when you see what's going on either side of us, you can't not be excited. Yeah, I think our average grade across the 100 meter trench of gold that we're going to be drilling underneath is we've got 23 grams, 18 grams. We've got some really, really nice showings. And what happens under there? Well, it's all bets are off the table. However, all bets are off the table knowing what we're seeing either side of us in Ontario. So you can't fail. And that's just in one tiny area of that property. You've got to remember that when you look at the mapping of Dotted, now, it's a mass. There's huge. We've got kilometres and kilometres of the Greenstone Belt coming up against the Granitoids, and that's where big discoveries are made in Canada, and we've got kilometers of that, and none of it's ever been tested. So once we can get this hole in the ground, that's going to teach us a lot, and then we can start looking at the wider property. But it's really important that we get this one out of the way first.
Okay. So the next question is, where are you going to be drilling first?
Dotted Lake.
Okay.
Without a shadow of a doubt. We've announced it to market. We're in the process of, ironically, despite COVID, it's absolute, the drill rigs in Ontario are very, very busy at the moment. So whereas normally you'd be able to pick a contractor up just like that, hasn't quite worked out that way here, but we're just about there now. And don't forget, everything's in place for this drill hole to take place. So all we've got to do is effectively say, right, yep, we're happy with that. Can you please proceed? And we'll announce that to market mm-hmm. that we've appointed a contractor. And we'd obviously, within that announcement, give an indication of when that hole's gonna start to happen. And it'll be very soon, Mark. I'm ever so confident on that.
Okay, the next question I've got, Darren, is you've got projects in Canada and Australia. They're good jurisdictions, but would you consider other projects in other locations?
Absolutely, Mark. I think I've talked about this before, that as a business, we are primarily gold exploration company, and that is our focus, looking for gold. Now, if anything else does come along in the meantime and looks commercially viable, we're not going to be turning that down. Don't get me wrong. But when a business, we in this industry or in any industry, really excels, it's when they focus. And it's been covered that we're looking at focusing on gold deposits in orogenic greenstone belts. Now, what does that mean? That's basically gold deposits in old rocks. And we've got certain feelings about how they formed, why they formed, and that all points a picture back then to where they formed, which brings us a lot further forward in the exploration process. So we are looking and confident that we'll be in a position to be able to look at greenstone belts and very quickly know where we're looking, what we're looking for, and to target our exploration directly into those zones and areas. Now, as a result of that, there are many greenstone belts across the globe. And I certainly now would not shy away from those, even though we've got no direct plans at the moment for anyone in particular. This is very much work that's going on in the background. But look, we all look for stuff that can drive the business or drive any business from where it is and going through the levels. And we've already done that at Panther. We've taken it through for a couple of levels already, which includes getting it listed in London on the main market. And you look at what's going to create the big business, the really big business. And we're talking about the £1 billion business. And to do that, you need to be consistent and to have consistent discoveries. And as a result, that's what we're looking at doing, and hence why we're focusing on looking to focus over time on a very specific area, but where our knowledge exceeds everybody else's around those.
Okay. Now, before we go to the last question, a question has just literally come in. This is live, and it goes, can Darren confirm if the White Cliffs Minerals Coglia Well Cobalt and Nickel project now belongs to Panther and is identified as property E38/2693 on the southern tip of the Marolia property?
It certainly is.
Good.
That's somebody that's doing their research.
It sounds like it. Yes.
Okay. That actually is. It's going to be. I'm going to be interested to see what the guys do out in Australia with it, because that has a non-JORC resource from 2004, I believe, and it's 0.8, 0.7 nickel, and. But they don't believe it take much to increase to turn that into a JORC resource. The hard miles have been done on that. But the nickel potential on that license area to the south is substantial, and it sits right. That license area is right on the southern end of Morolia. And this, the gold mineralization then kicks off just north of that. So as a standalone project, that offers all kinds of potential. It's, and I have communicated that to market, but people sometimes overlook these things. But it's worth people having a look at that and having a look at the potential there. It's quite extraordinary.
Okay. Now, the final question then, Darren, I think this is from someone who is concerned about when you go on site to Canada to the project over there. But the question is, would Darren rather fight 10 bear-sized kittens or 10 kitten-sized bears?
Well, it has to be said, I think we've all had a lovely, cute little kitten on our lap that suddenly starts sort of crawling over our legs, and you get this constant pinprick feeling as they're attempting to grip.
Mm-hmm.
So I certainly wouldn't want to fight any kitten that's bear size with those type of claws. It has to be said. I think I think you'd be in numerous pieces in no time at all. So yeah, it would have to be 10 kitten sized bears. And it has also, Mark, how cute would they be?
They would be quite cute, I agree. Yes, they would.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's I suppose what would they be, sort of a little bit smaller than rugby ball size?
Yes.
They would be
nice.
Yeah, they would. And I certainly wouldn't want to fight them, but
no.
But yeah,
okay. Yeah. So there we are. So 10 kitten-sized bears. That's the answer. Okay. Well, thank you very much, Darren Hazelwood, the CEO of Panther Metals, for answering those shareholder questions for us today.
That's a pleasure. Thanks for passing them over, Mark.
Thank you for listening to this Stockbox interview. For more information, interviews and videos, visit our website at stockboxmedia.com or give us a follow on Twitter by searching at Stockbox Media.